Father in heaven, we are so humbled and amazed to be in your presence, Lord. What a sweet spirit it is here today in your house. Lord, we love you and we praise you, Father God. Lord, thank you, Father, that our relationship with you isn't dependent upon what we have, because we have you. And Lord, we love you, and we just pray that in our own simple way, with our voices raised to you, I pray, Lord, that you would receive the honor and the glory that you are due. Father, we pray that now as we open your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would guide and direct us as we study our Bibles, Father. We pray that you would make application of your word to our life. Teach us what you'd have us to know. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Oh, what a sweet and awesome time of praise that was. Amen. No, I'm not sure if I've shared this story with you guys or not, but this isn't the first time that I've lost my instruments. One time, my brother Cody and I were ministering in Towers Jail downtown, and we always would have two services. And so we got through the first service, and it was really good. And they took all the guys out, and they were bringing all the other inmates in. And there's maybe 10 minutes in between, something like that, and we're getting ready to go. And all the fellas get into the room there, and we're getting all ready to preach and have the service. And our guitar player's not around, and his name was Gator. That should have been the first warning. So we're waiting, right? Where's the guitar player? Where's the guitar player? So finally asked the guard, hey, man, where's our guitar player? And they said, oh, we arrested him. He had a warrant in another state. So, yeah, and he just walked right into him. So I told Cody, you got to sing because I'm preaching, man. You know, and he did. He did a good job, too. You know what he sang? And I want you guys to sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the... They are weak, but he is strong. Sing it loud. Yes, Jesus... The Bible tells me so. Friends, if you don't take nothing home with you today, always remember Jesus loves you. Right? Doesn't matter what else happens, Jesus loves you. Praise the Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles. Let's continue studying our way through the amazing Word of God. We're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. We're going to be talking about today a very important issue in the church. Now, let me ask you this. If you've ever invited anyone to church, what's probably the first excuse people give? I don't want to go there. That place is full of what? Hypocrites, right? Hypocrites. We're going to talk about hypocrites in the church today. We're going to see how our world has been such influenced by what Jesus will call here the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus gives three warnings about leaven in the scriptures. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. We will talk about that today. He said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Now, that was a different religious group that had a different philosophy. And then he said, beware of the leaven of Herod. That was the ways of the world, materialism. And leaven in the Bible is always a picture of sin and corruption. During the Passover, we learned this in Exodus chapter 12. We saw that during the Passover week, they would have to go through their house and sweep it clean, make sure there was no leaven in the house at all. Why? Well, because it's this picture of sin. It's a picture of corruption. It's a picture of rottenness, right? Now, this is the ingredient that causes bread to rise. We can't see it work. It works without us knowing it, but its effects are felt, right? I remember a few years ago when I was first kind of learning all this stuff, I asked my wife, Kelly, I said, what is this leaven, this yeast stuff? It never dawned on me. I'd never seen a loaf of bread at my house that wasn't in a wrapper, you know. And it's true. I used to joke. Well, I still joke and say, you know, my wife's such a bad cook that we pray after we eat at our house. It's getting better. It's getting better. Now we order out. No. Anyway, the whole leaven thing. So I had to call my mom. Mom, what is this leaven, this yeast stuff? And, of course, she could tell me what it was. You know, baking's kind of a lost art anymore these days, isn't it? Now, I'm of the opinion that if you've got a slave over the microwave for 3 minutes or more, you should get points, right? I slaved over that microwave for 3 minutes. So anyway, leaven. I don't know where I'm going with this. Leaven. It will seep through the whole batch, and Galatians tells us that a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump, right? 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us about our new life in Christ. He says, purge out the old leaven, for you're a new lump. Now, I think he was talking to me, but you're like, wow, you know. That's when I quit reading the old King James, because he called me an old lump, and I started reading the NIV because he called me a new batch, you know, and We're new batch. We're not to have sin in our life. We're to have holiness, right? So with this in mind, let's look at our text. You guys open to Luke chapter 11. We stopped off at verse 37, but what I want to do is I want to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, because it's the events of 11, 37 through 54 that leads up to this amazing statement that Jesus makes in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let's look at it. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, now here's this strong warning, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and he tells us what it is here, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the old word that meant an actor. Okay, someone playing a part that's not who they really are. They're just putting on this mask. They're playing a part. Verse 2, he says, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and nothing hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed on the housetops. What we're about to read in 11, 37 through 54 led Jesus up to these statements. So let's start reading now in chapter 11, verse 37. You'll recall that Jesus just gave a teaching on the purpose of the light, right? We're lights of the world, and you don't hide a light under the bed. You don't put a basket under it, but it shines out, right? All that stuff. Verse 37, and he spoke, as he spoke, a certain Pharisee. Now, these Pharisees were the super religious people of the day. They were very strict in their observance of the law. The Apostle Paul called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said he was guiltless of the law and all this stuff. So these were the super religious, super strict people. And one of them invites him to a meal. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, what he's doing is he's asked Jesus to this meal. And being a religious man, he's got the stone water pots that were out there. And the Jewish people had this ceremonial washing. And what this guy is looking at here is he's looking and he's amazed about this religious ritual. He's not concerned about hygiene. He's concerned about religious ritual, right? And Jesus didn't go through this whole ceremony of washing. And, of course, Jesus understands, knows what's going on, and he replies to him in verse 39. The Lord said to him, now, you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Boy, isn't that a nice way to talk to the host? You know? But what he's speaking here is the truth. He says, verse 40, foolish ones, you Pharisees, do not he who made the outside make the inside also? See, one of the leaven of the Pharisees, which Jesus said is hypocrisy, is they were very good and very strict religious leaders, but their insides were bad. Okay? And friends, you can only put on an outside facade for so long before the inside will come out, right? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, and out of the heart, the actions will happen. And Jesus is saying, you guys are so strict on religion, but you're putrid inside. See, with God, not only does the outside of the dish need to be washed, but especially the inside. And God always starts with the inside and works his way out. Where religion starts on the outside, and they never penetrate inside. Right? That's another lesson that we learned from Church on the Street and the jail ministry and stuff like this is, oh, Pastor Walt, there, people would get saved. These men and women that had very tough lives would get saved, and he would let them give testimonies. And I was at church on the street one Saturday night preaching, and before the preaching, they would have testimonies and stuff. And some of these people that would get saved would get up there, and man, they would just cuss. And I knew the words, but I never repeated them. But I asked Walt, why would you let that happen? And he goes, hey, the Holy Spirit will take care of these people. We get them saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit does his work. You know, we're so used to trying to mold people into the spiritual cookie cutter that we don't let the Holy Spirit do his work, right? So we got to make sure that God cleans the inside, and then the outside will get clean. That makes sense? And Jesus says, you guys don't do that. You worry about the outside stuff, and the inside's all messed up. And now he goes into this. Oh, I have a scripture, Micah 6:8. Micah addressed the same thing in the Old Testament. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Leave that up just for a moment as we see what Jesus tells this religious Pharisee here. He says in verse 41, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and then indeed all things will be clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice, the love of God. These things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. See, what religion does is religion will tend the garden, but not tend to the needs of the people. They were very quick to tithe the little stuff, but not to serve mankind. And Jesus said, you need to do both of these things. That's what God was telling the people through Micah. God will tell you what's good. That's to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Right? See, one thing religion will do, religion will produce pride. And if you're walking in pride, you can't walk humbly with God. Right? What goes before a fall? Pride does. Why? Because pride is the exact opposite of humility, and we must walk with humility with God, right? Let's keep going here. With true humility will come holiness. Look at verse 43. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and the greetings in the marketplace. They wanted to be popular. They wanted to be addressed as, ooh, here's the spiritual guy, you know, and to have all this great seats in the best seats in the synagogue would be up on the stage so they could look out over the people. The people could see them, you know, and, oh, they wanted all this attention and everything. They wanted these official greetings. Verse 44, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Back in the law, if you even stepped on a grave, you were considered unclean. So what they would do during festival times is they would whitewash the graves so that people wouldn't step on them and become ceremonially unclean. What Jesus is telling these religious guys here is, you're just like an unmarked grave. People come around you and you spoil them. You're not helping them. You're spoiling them, right? Now notice, if you would please, here. This is very important. In verse 45, then one of the lawyers, this would be one of the also known as scribes, these were the people who were responsible for teaching the people the word of God. One of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Friends, this whole getting offended at the truth is nothing new to 2016. Jesus dealt with it. You ever notice the people that are offended at everything, it always comes back to the truth, right? The Buckeye in me wants to say some stuff about that right now, but the preacher in me says better not, because we want people to come back next week. No, I can't. I won't do it. These people that get offended at everything, is there any reason we can't figure out what gender people are? Don't you just want to tell people, man up? And don't you want to tell some women down? Not that you're lower, but why do women want to be men and men want to be women? What's going on with this world? It's the leaven that we're going to get into of the world that is influencing everything. I'll get into that, but just hang with me here. Hang with me. Notice, if you would, please. Write this down in verse 46. Jesus does not change his message just because this goof is offended. Let me say that again. Jesus did not change the message. He didn't change the truth just because this guy is offended. Look what he says to this guy. He says, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men down with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves don't even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." I am not making a political statement here. I'm not endorsing anybody here, and I'm not telling you how to vote here, but I have been getting a big chuckle out of these reporters that are going up to people who are protesting certain individuals' rallies, and they ask the individual, "Why do you not support this individual?" And they have no reason to not support that individual. And then they say, "Well, why do you then support this individual?" Because she's female. But I'm not endorsing and not downplaying anybody. But you see the mentality? They have no knowledge of why they're even doing what they're doing. Does that make... Do you guys notice that too, or is it just me? Yeah, you guys going to come back next week? So you're saying you ain't done yet, dude. I made my mind up yet. For the overhead, Matthew 11:28, please. These religious people were making having a relationship with God just impossible. And Jesus says this, and I love this because I'm just not that bright a guy. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Now, he was talking about people who were desperately trying to be in a relationship with God, and religion was making it so hard for them. They couldn't be in a relationship with God. They were bogged down with all these rituals and bogged down with all this stuff. And Jesus said, "Just come to me and I'll give you rest." The rest here isn't just physical rest, you know. It was the rest that was promised in the Old Testament, that you go into the promised land and you'll have rest. It's the rest that the book of Hebrews talks about. When we're in a relationship with Jesus, we have rest. It's an eternal thing, right? It's awesome. And Jesus said, "I'll give that to you." Religion can't give that to you. Politicians can't give it to you. But I give it to you. And this is what Jesus is scolding him on. You religious people, you're making it hard for a person to have any kind of contact or relationship with the great Jehovah. He says in verse 47, "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs." What is Jesus talking about here? Well, what Jesus is saying is, you build monuments to the dead prophets, not because you were happy God sent prophets. You were happy because your forefathers killed the prophets. You see the difference? So the monuments weren't to the great ministry of the prophets. The monuments were, we stopped the ministry of the prophets. Okay. What is our world trying to do today? Well, we take away the Ten Commandments. We take away prayer. We're trying to take away under God from our pledge. A lot of places are taking away the pledge at all. Yesterday was Armed Forces Day. You guys know that? As a little social experiment, I put two things on Facebook. I put a thing thanking the veterans and a picture of thanking Armed Service Day, and the other one was a silly little goofy thing. The silly little goofy thing, I had like 120-something likes, some comments. Thanking the veterans, I had 6. He says, You guys celebrate the fact that you're killing and stopping the word and work of God. And you're celebrating this. Verse 49. Therefore, this is amazing of God. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. Even though they were killing, persecuting, and stopping the word of God, God says, I love them so much, I'm going to keep sending it to them. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? This is amazing. Verse 50 and 51, this is pretty strong here too. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. This is pretty powerful. From the blood of Abel, this we read about in Genesis 4:8, the first murder when his brother Cain killed him, to the blood of Zechariah. This is recorded in 2 Chronicles 24. That was the last book in the Hebrew Bible. So what he's doing is saying from the first to the last as we have recorded in our Bibles, you guys are going to be guilty of. Now, if you would remember in your Bible studies, both of these men were killed because of religious issues. Abel was killed because he was practicing correct worship, right? Zechariah, again, you can read this. This is amazing, 2 Chronicles 24. He was killed because he stood up and spoke out against the idol worship brought into the people by King Joash. Now, isn't it interesting that the two issues today that are challenging the church and that the world is trying to kill is our worship? I thought it was kind of interesting that of all the topics we'd be talking about today, this is the day we didn't have instruments. But worship is a way of life, how we live. It's not just instruments, right? And Abel was worshiping correctly. And that's why God even gave Cain the chance. Man, you straighten up. I'll accept it. How many bad sacrifices are being lifted up to God on a weekly basis in churches that all it is a performance and not true worship? Zechariah, he had, talk about manning up. He wasn't afraid to point his finger to the perverse priesthood and the government officials and say, idol worship is wrong. We worship in this nation the idol of self, materialism. Why has Bernie got such a following? Because you can get everything you want for free. Right? I mean, we're selfish creatures. Is this preaching hurting anybody? You guys coming back next week? Hey, for the overhead, please. Jeremiah 6:16. This is out of the New American Standard, just because I like the wording a little bit better. But speaking about pure worship and pure service to God. God sent warning to apostate Israel back in Jeremiah's day. And here's what God said. Stand by the way and see. What God's telling Jeremiah is watch this. You stand by and see and ask for the ancient paths, the ancient ways of God, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. What God was saying here is, you need to get back to the old-time religion. Okay? You don't need smoke machines. You don't need colored lights. You don't need theatrics. You need to seek God, like in the old days. When my prophets would come out and all they would do was seek God and worship and serve Him. That's what you do. You walk in it. You live in that. And that's where you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we won't do that. Right? People ask me, not so much anymore, but a few years, I went through a spell there where when I invite people to church, the thing they would ask is, what kind of coffee shop did we have? That's what determined what church they would go to, right? And I would, depending on my mood, I would say, here we go. A couple of people, I said, hey, we're Mormons. We don't drink coffee. I know, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. I did. Anyway, friends, I know I've said this before, and I pray it a lot before we come on stage, and it's a sincere prayer. My prayer is when people leave this church that they don't say, you know, man, what great music. They don't say, man, what great preaching, but that they say, what a great God. Because I want to seek God in the ancient ways, and that doesn't mean no electricity and no air conditioning. But I mean pure worship. Worship in spirit and in truth, right? You know, we don't need to dilute God. We just need to seek God. Let's keep going because we haven't got to chapter 12 yet. So he said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Boy, this makes me scared about, you know, how responsible is our generation when we see all the craziness going on in our world today? Verse 52, woe to you lawyers, again, your Bible might say scribe, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. What he's talking about here is you who were responsible to lead people to God, you're making it hard for them, you're not encouraging them to seek God, and you're not even doing it yourself, but yet you claim to be the ones in control, right? And it's very sad. Verse 53, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and cross-examine him about many things. Again, that's the tactic we see of these offended people, right? Yes, Clay, that's the tactic we see. So they begin to lie in wait for him, seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him, but they couldn't. Could they? They couldn't do it. So this is what leads us into chapter 12. Where's our time? Okay. I'm going to try to get through three verses here. Chapter 12 is just some great, honest teaching of Jesus. You don't have to do a whole lot of expounding on it because Jesus says what he says, and it's very easy. So let's look at it here. Chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when the innumerable people had gathered together, you know what, this week, I think it was Thursday, the Lord wouldn't let me get past just that first sentence. And I'm thinking, well, that isn't really important to the lesson here. What's important are the words in red, right? But I couldn't shake this. So I got looking at it. You know, there's basically three types of people in a crowd. Whenever Jesus is ministering, they're spectators. Those who are just kind of out of curiosity, want to know what's going on. You know, crowds attract crowds. There are scorners. There will always be people who will scorn and not believe. They'll heckle and joke the teachings of God. And there may be some of both of those here today, might not. And then most importantly, there's the surrendered. Those who are truly devoted to the Lord and devoted to following him and truly want to seek and desire him. And I hope that's all of us today. I hope we're all surrendered. So they all come together. And the crowd was so big, they start trampling on each other just to get to him. And this is what led Jesus to make that claim, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Once again, if you want to write these down, we won't turn there, but you can, in your own study, Exodus 12, 15 through 20 talks about it. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8 talks about it. And Galatians 5 through 9 talks about it. All talking about how leaven represents sin and leaven represents corruption and how we're not to have it in our life. When we do communion, that wafer represents unleavened bread. Right? In the Passover, it had to be unleavened bread. And it was only Jesus who could pick up unleavened bread and say, this is my body. Right? He was the only one who could do that. Well, this leaven or this yeast added to the dough caused it to rise, and it worked silently. It worked surely. Hypocrisy pretends to be holy, but it's really not. Would you put on the overhead, please, Daryl, Matthew 16:12. Another time, but Jesus says basically the same thing. And they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, you know, what you cook with, but of the doctrines. Notice that. This is a doctrine. This is a teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees was that you had to be so religious. You had to earn your way into heaven. You had to, you know, you had to struggle and fight to be accepted, right? Friends, we know that we're saved by grace, right? The doctrine of the teaching of the Sadducees. The Sadducees, they were religious, but they didn't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in healing and all this stuff. And we have the same mentalities today. We have people who teach from a pulpit that you've got to work to earn your salvation. They never read the New Testament, obviously. And then we have people from the pulpit saying, you know, you don't need the Holy Spirit. I was saved and brought up not brought up long because I got kicked out, of the Southern Baptist Church. Hey, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, start talking in tongues, and they don't like it in the Southern Baptist Church. Boy, they, you know, he told me I was possessed by the devil. Well, that freaked me out because this guy knew what he was talking about. I didn't, right? But it caused me to do some studying and stuff. Well, that doctrine, that philosophy is still around today. And they're both false, right? The other doctrine, it's not here, but Jesus records, is beware the doctrine of Herod, which was materialism. Herod was a horrible leader, right? All those are still around today. Well, what I want to get here is, notice it says in verse 2, okay, the hypocrites here, they're one thing out in public, but there's something different at home. But Jesus says, there's nothing covered that won't be revealed or hidden that won't be made known. You can write this down. Hebrews 4:13 says that everything will be exposed. You're not getting away with some stuff you think you might be getting away with, mister. What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. That's the lie that they tell you. And therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed on the housetop. We might put a modern spin on this and say, you know, what you view on your computer in the private of your own home won't be hidden forever. Right? Turn with me in your Bible. I didn't have these for finding because I wasn't sure if I was going to go here. But I want to share with you real quick as we close 6 pieces of leaven that has brought our churches and our nation to the position it's in. Would you agree that even in our churches we're in a moral crisis? Turn with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Judges. And I promise I'm not going to hammer this stuff too long. Judges 17. Here's the first evidence that we've got leaven in our lives. Judges 17, verse 6. You guys there? Let's read what it says. In those days, there were no king in Israel. Now check out this last line. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was no moral compass. There was no plumb line. If it feels good, do it. Doesn't matter who it hurts. Right? Everyone was their own king. Everyone's their own God. Everyone did what they felt was right in their own eyes. Friends, that's the first sign that you got leaven going on in your life. Now in the New Testament, book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 all the way to the end of the chapter, gives a breakdown that we could follow. But I'm just going to read one verse. Romans 1, just say amen when you get there. Okay, I want to wait for everyone because I want you guys to read these so you don't think I'm making this up. You guys there, Romans 1, let's look at verse 22. In this progression of a declining church and a declining people, verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. A godless culture prides itself on intellectual superiority, but yet they're dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, I was telling you about the videos I've been watching earlier. These are college kids they're talking to. And it's scary how, I don't know a nicer way, but just how ignorant some of these people are. I don't mean to be offensive, but if the shoe fits, it's probably on the wrong foot. Anyway, back to the Old Testament. Isaiah 5. Another sign that the leaven of immorality is growing in our lives, the leaven of the world. Someone moved Isaiah. Oh, there it is. Isaiah 5. And we're going to read verse 20. Boy, we see this a big time today. You guys there? Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that not happening today? I mean, we've got this thing so turned around that what is holy and good is criticized and mocked. You're called a bigot. You're called narrow-minded and all this stuff, right? But anything goes in the wild, wild world, right? Right? I saw a great response. And this lady was and I want to be very sensitive to this. She was bragging about life she has terminated in her womb, and she was very proud of this fact. And she said to this guy, "It's my body." And the guy had the best response. He said, "No, it isn't. It's that baby's body. If it was your body, you'd be dead." Boy, is that not an in-your-face truth? But we call evil good and good evil. And I think one message that the church needs to inform the world about that whole issue is that is not the unforgivable sin, and God can heal you if you've been involved in that type of activity. God can restore and renew and all and forgive, right? All right. Sometimes we hear some people have been involved in a certain type of sin, and we as a church will write them off. That's the wrong attitude as a church to have too. Amen? All right, that's the third one, calling evil good and good evil. And there's a lot of examples in this world, a lot of examples. Now let's go a little further to the book of Hosea. We are learning our Bibles today, huh? I said that, now I can't find it. Found Joel. There it is, Hosea. I know he's by Joel. Chapter 9. We've kind of seen these things progress in our society. Would you guys agree upon that? I mean, society says no rules to do what you want, right? Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. We see that society is becoming very proud and puffed up and happy about their intelligence. We see that we as a society are calling evil good and good evil, right? We'll look at the next one in this, in Hosea. It is when people consider the warnings of God to be just crazy and false. See, sin will take away the ability to recognize judgment. Look at Hosea 9, verse 7. The days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel knows. The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is insane because of the greatness of your iniquity and great enmity. What was happening here in the context of this is God was sending his prophets to warn Israel of their sins and giving them the opportunity to repent, but they were considering the people giving the warnings as just crazy. Oh, that guy, he blew a fuse. Right? Those preachers that preach holiness and a judgment that's coming, they've lost it. Right? They're crazy. They don't know what's going on. And there may be some of you sitting here today who are hearing this, and in your mind you're thinking, that dude's nuts. Well, you're fulfilling what God said you're going to happen. Right? Now, New Testament, 2 Corinthians. Is this kind of getting to you guys? I mean, isn't this amazing to see this stuff happening? Do you guys realize that we are the generation that's seeing this stuff come to pass? I always thought it'd be cool to live in the days of Jesus, you know, and to actually hear his voice and maybe take part of the food that he multiplied when he fed the 5,000. Wouldn't that be awesome? But then I think, well, there's no air conditioning and no cars, you know, so maybe this is cool. But no Mountain Dew. Friends, we're seeing the most amazing part of prophecy happening. We're going to get to see it. That's way cool. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. We kind of hit on this when I talked about the seeking the ancient ways of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5. whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age is, of course, Satan, and he tries to blind our minds so that we won't believe the simple truths of God. The God of this age is blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look at verse 5, the first part. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay? Here's the point of number 5 here, is that we're getting away from the simple truth of the gospel. We don't need to preach theories. We don't need to preach ideas. We need to get back to Jesus, right? If we just seek Jesus, worshiping God through his son Jesus, right, enabled by the Holy Spirit that is within us, would be pretty cool. Do you realize that just us studying the Gospels, we will cover all the teachings of Christ? That's some pretty heavy-duty stuff there, right? I mean, but we've gotten away from just the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's okay if someone has a situation, because you will be challenged as a Christian. Someone will say, well, my spouse walked out of me and I lost my job and they repossessed my car all in the same day. You don't have to give them a 3-point outline of what God's plan for their life is. All you got to say is, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, and I know Jesus has got a plan that he will work out through this. And together, we'll get through it and we'll figure out what God's got for you. We just got to lean them back to Jesus. All right? We don't have to have all the answers. We know the guy that's got the answers. His name is Jesus. Last one. One more. Can you bear through one more? This one will be easy to find. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation and maps are the two easiest books to find. Revelation 12. We're seeing how leaven is permeating the whole lump, and we see how it's affected our world, right? Check out this, Revelation 12:12. You guys there? Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Notice this. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. Friends, here's the point I want to make on that. Anywhere the devil is bad. Beware of worldly worship in the church. Beware of worldly theologies in the church. Beware of worldly activities and stuff that has permeated. I better stop because I can't start not being able to talk here. Permeated our nation, our government, our churches. And if we're not careful, our homes and our individual lives. Amen? That's all I got for today. That's some pretty heavy-duty stuff, right? I mean, heavy stuff, but that's what God had us to go through today. And we will continue our study of the Gospel of Luke next week as we go through it. I would invite you this week as your homework to read chapter 12. We'll probably go through it pretty well. Knowing me, I won't go through it quick, but my plan is to go through it quick because it's just great teaching. He just lays it out, and you know, it's awesome. Anyone can understand it. So we'll look at that and continue next week. Worship team, join me up here. Didn't they do a great job? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and let's prepare our hearts to pray. Friends, if today you've recognized that maybe you fall into one of these categories, you know, we all have a little bit of Pharisee in us. I've got it. If we would be honest, we'll have to admit that. We all have got a little bit of Sadducee in us where we question the working of God and the miracles of God. If we're honest, we would come to that conclusion. We all have to be honest and say that maybe today we recognize we got some leaven working in our lumps. And God says to purge that out. Well, the Lord will help us to do that. The Lord will help us to recognize those things that we shouldn't be involved with. The Lord will help us to recognize to do something about it, to get rid of them, give us the strength to overcome, give us the strength to be victorious. And he wants to do that for you today. But the most important thing dear friends, is this, is that you must first know Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. That great multitude that followed him around and that trampled each other just to get around him, you know, by the time we get to the book of Acts, that great multitude that couldn't be numbered, there was only 120. So that tells me that even great crowds, very few are really dedicated to the Lord. So today, if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, today you can do that. And that great plan and purpose I spoke about earlier, God has one for you, and he wants to get it started. So today I want to encourage you to surrender your life and your heart to the Lord. And he'll blow your socks off, man. That'd be awesome. Maybe you are surrendered to the Lord and you're struggling with some leaven. Maybe you're struggling with some things. Today God wants to take care of that. He wants to heal your bodies. He wants to heal your relationships. He wants to mend your whatever needs mending. He can do it. Right? So today as we pray, as soon as I say amen, the altars will be open. We'll worship God. If you need prayer, come forward. And we'll let God do his work. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us enough to be so brutally honest with us. Father, here this guy invited you to a nice meal, and you cut to the chase, Lord. You confronted him, and thank you for confronting us when we need that, Lord God. Father, forgive us if we've allowed the leaven of the world to grow to a place where we can't handle it, Lord. Father, your word says a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump, Lord. It's easy to see how that happens. So help us today. Lord, help us today to walk in a renewed commitment to you. Father, today I want to pray that if there's anyone here needing a great touch from you, whether that be emotional, physical, financial, whatever it is, I pray that today you would meet every need. Father, I pray that today, Holy Spirit, you'd continue to challenge us in our thinking, Lord. Father, may today we examine this portion of Scripture and then examine it against our own life, Lord God. Father, I pray that today, Lord, would be a new day, that, Lord, as we begin seeking the ancient ways of God, Lord, that today we would begin experiencing the ancient ways of God, Lord, when you would move and mountains would tremble, Lord God, that you would do great things in our lives, Father. Lord, we're excited for what you're doing. Lord, we do continue to lift up and pray for Tom's son, Father, who is in a desperate need of a miracle. Father, I know that there are probably many, many more in our fellowship family. Lord, from our prayer requests, Lord, I know that there are many more. Brother Vern needs continued healing, Lord. And there's so many more, Lord, that we lift them all up to you and we trust you. And we thank you and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's